Morning, everyone. I think we're just about on time this morning. Very warm welcome on this lovely November morning. To those of you who are in church, obviously, a warm welcome to any visitors with us. And to those of you who are looking in from home, we're delighted that you're all joining in our service this morning. And I'm very, very pleased to welcome back into our pulpit the Reverend Colin McGaw. Colin, as you know, is our vacancy convener. And he has been giving us a lot of help and direction and guidance in all that we should be doing. So, Colin, thank you for that, and it's great to see you back with us. Now, you'll all have heard the news. 29th and 6th of December, the next two Sundays, we are told by the executive that we are not allowed to meet, so there will be no services here in church. But Colin has invited the Ballycrocken congregation to join with the Helens Bay congregation on YouTube for the morning service. And Chris was showing a slide just before the service there with directions on how to get into that. He'll show it again at the end if you weren't quite sure what it was all about. But the directions are quite simple. Go to YouTube, look up Helens Bay Presbyterian Church, and if you click on subscribe, that will put the services there in order and you will get next week's service. It's very, very simple. Now, the next Sunday that we're due back is Sunday the 13th of December, and we had identified that as Toy Sunday, when we bring our gifts of toys to the Vine community in Belfast. We are still looking forward to that. So if I can give you a good advance notice on it, Toy Sunday will still be the next Sunday back, assuming that we're allowed back, of course. Sunday Club and Bible class started 2 weeks ago, and after today they're closed while the church is closed. The first Sunday in December is Bible Sunday, and on that Sunday we normally present Bibles to those children going into P1 and those going into Year 8 or in old language Form 1. Now, the Bibles will still be presented, but we're working out how we can best do that. So if you have a child in that area, in those age groups, yes, they will receive their Bible, but we haven't worked out quite how we're going to do it yet. Now, the Virgil Soup lunch brought in actual money. £552. So well done all round, and thank you all for your contributions. Jim McKnight has asked me to make an announcement about Storehouse. Storehouse are making up their annual hampers for Christmas. And to enable our congregation to continue to make their contributions, whilst the church is closed, each Monday, Jim will be at church between 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and he will receive your gifts. So that's on the two Mondays that we're closed, Jim will be there between 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock. And not only will he receive your gifts, he'll receive any toys you want to bring in for Toy Sunday, if you want to bring them in advance. And he will also, on Isabel's behalf, receive any envelopes that anybody wants to bring down during the closure. So Jim's going to be very busy, 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, but he will receive anything you want to give him. As he said to me this morning, Billy, I'll take anything. So thank you for that, Jim. Tonight is Life Lounge. 7:30. I gave you advanced warning last week. The guest is the Reverend Paul Mathole. Paul, Douglas Bradley's son-in-law, now a rector in Manchester. So I'd encourage everyone to come in at 7:30 on Life Lounge and see Paul. Those are the end of the announcements. Reverend McGaw, it's all over to you.
Good to know that there are folk out there who are tuning in and worshipping every bit as much this morning. Well, I'm still quite bowled over by your virtual soup lunch, But raising well over £500, congratulations to you all. As long as we don't have to have a virtual Christmas dinner, that's all right, isn't it? We'll run with the soup lunch. That's good. Well, look, lovely to see you, and want to open today's service with this verse. Glory in God's holy name. Seek the Lord and his strength. Let the hearts of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. And isn't it a wonderful thing to know that as we wait upon God, a fruit of his Spirit is to fill us with joy that comes from deep within, despite our circumstances on the outside. We can have joy in our relationship with the Lord. But I also pray that there is much happiness as well for you in life, and that there are many things to encourage you at this time. Our first praise is, Lord, I lift your name on high. Well, that was lovely. These little microphones I have nicknamed the Whitney Houston. What a wonderful voice that lady had in her career. But I'm very careful about them in case it's only me singing to the wider population. So I'm investing incredible trust on my friends at the desk. Let us bow together. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, the one who knows all things from beginning to end, a perfect knowledge beyond that which we could ever comprehend as human beings. Every detail, every moment, every movement. Lord God, you are sovereign in your almighty power and presence and love and encouragement. You are holy God, pure in every way. And we thank you that amidst your greatness, You have brought to us such a grace and mercy into this world and into our lives in the coming of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. You gave him all the way to the cross in our place. Our sins were punished there. And by the cleansing blood and by his wounds, we are made well. We are made whole. We are restored. And so in our believing, we have personally received you, O Lord, the Lamb of God. We welcome you into our hearts and into the core of our beings. For we know that we cannot be, nor can we do, nor can we say, nor can we even think in the perfect way in which holiness does. So thank you that at our coming to faith and laying down the burdens of our sins and of our frailty at the foot of your cross, that we have received a mercy and a restoration that we could never earn, never pay for in any human sense, the grace gift of God in Jesus. And as Christian people, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you that he is around and within us, prompting us, encouraging us, shining light upon your word that we may be drawn deeper into you and spurred to be keener servants of your will and work in the world in which we live. So, Lord God, please accept our praises this day as we come to you with humble and submissive hearts, and yet, O God, as we come and approach the throne of grace with confidence as taught in Scripture, we thank you for the confidence that you instill in us, and we pray that we will continue to be a growing people upon the foundation of this wonderful being justified. May we know what it is to become more like Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, in our ways. May we increasingly be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, we continue our series today on Old Testament prophetic symbolism and lessons for us today as Christians in today's church. So this isn't a series that meant to be cerebral, that we can just go home and impress everybody with some Old Testament knowledge and connect up a few dots. This is something that is meant to be part of our treasury of Bible knowledge so that we can integrate the Word of God as it should be, and that we can understand together how God's Word in the Old Testament so often foreshadows that which happens in the New Testament. And for those of you who have taken some of the Bible courses, including Alpha Course and other quality courses out there, that you have discovered that the Old Testament often does in the physical what the New Testament does in the spiritual. Like some of the amazing battles that took place physically in the Old Testament, and yet today we are talking about warfare, a spiritual warfare, and the importance of prayer. Not that prayer wasn't important in the Old Testament, of course it was. Very core, very central, absolutely crucial. But as we can see, that there are very often foreshadows in the Old Testament of what will take place in the New. And when last time we thought about Abram and Isaac and that very tense situation where, as we approached the point of where Isaac was going to be in faith sacrificed by his father, do not harm the child. And the whole impact of that, the total drama leading up to that moment, how can this be? What an awful cost and price to have to pay. And yet, it was looking forward to the time when Jesus would be born into the world as we celebrate at Advent and Christmas. God the Father doing what was not required of Abraham and Isaac that day, but in Jesus was required for our salvation. And I think as we read that Old Testament scripture, God, let us feel, as we were saying last time, let us be impacted by the story of Abraham and Isaac so we would understand what it has cost God the Father, perfect in fatherhood, to give Jesus, his only begotten Son, onto the cross, onto death for us. But it was a borrowed tomb. It was a borrowed grave, wasn't it? It was a borrowed one because he wasn't going to be there too long. And today we worship a glorious risen Savior. We believe in a risen Lord, not in a dead relic. This is a risen Lord that the Christian church believes in, and this is so wonderful. And today we are thinking about water, rock, and rod in Exodus. Water, rock, and rod, and how that translates over in many ways into the New Testament. And Pat will be reading from the New Testament, from John 4, shortly. But first of all, I want to read from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. Let us hear the word of God. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Amen, and we thank God for his word. Lots of lessons to be drawn out, and of course, in a sermon, we go so far, and there's lots for you to research and study in Scripture. I always remember one of our ministers in the presbytery who led a minister's conference for me in Newcastle, and he said, we don't read Scripture, we study Scripture. God wants us to be in our reading of God's Word, those who really go deep with God in the study of Scripture. And he went on to say, the more we study, the more we see Jesus walk out of the pages and the paragraphs. And I thought that was a wonderful picture and a wonderful inspiration and encouragement to keep studying God's Word. We are going to sing God of Grace, Amazing Wonder. Let us stand. Now, Pat is going to bring us the second reading from John's Gospel.
When I get my glasses on, that is. John chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, all who drink this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Amen.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you very much, Pat. Now, I am aware that in the life of your congregation here in Ballycrocken, that pastoral care continues because within the family of this congregation, there has been ongoing sorrow and also struggle in various ways. So as we bow today for our prayers for others in these intercessions, let us also either silently or aloud continue to remember those who have been bereaved in recent times and also who have become unwell. And we don't underestimate the kind of pressures that people are experiencing, and we're very concerned about those who are in hospital, who are ill with all sorts of ailments at the moment. I just learned before coming here that two of my congregation have gone into hospital over the weekend with various problems due to falls and ailments. So let us bow together. Let us really think and pray for these people. Let us pray. Gracious Father God, we thank you that your listening ear is ever open and that praying is not just a ritual or a religious formality, but that we are praying to the living God in the name of your Son, our Savior. We bow to your will, we bow to your timings, we bow to your perfect knowledge of everything all the time. Everywhere. Father, from this side, we ask for your help and your strength to attune to your wisdom and to your will as we raise up to you those who are mourning from our church family at this time. And also praying for those who have been ill this past while at home, in hospital, within nursing home. We also pray for those who have had unexpected traumas within their lives, things that have challenged, and yet people who are grateful today that unfolding events were not any worse than they were on the day. We also pray for our business community, O God, amidst such disappointment. And we pray, Lord God, that you will strengthen them, help them, encourage them. And as more money, we understand, is available to help to sustain them through, we pray, Lord God, that You will help businesses of all sizes to survive. We pray that people who are searching for work may find something. We pray, Lord God, that you will help us to be generous this week. Perhaps when some of us will go to a coffee shop or a restaurant this week, that perhaps we can be generous to help sustain. Lord, we thank you for the different ways in which we heartily have worship and engage in church. We pray over our actual services in church, and we also pray for our online services. May we determine that wherever we are, whatever the circumstances, that we will worship as before the living God, in the loving Lord, by the Holy Spirit. So even within our own homes, may we sing for joy, join in the prayers, listen closely to your word, and live out the lessons that we glean from your holy scriptures. Lord, we pray for those who have been long awaiting important surgeries, for those whose treatments have been set aside for shorter or longer periods of time. Lord, we pray in the light of this situation that we may soon and increasingly be able to serve the wider healthcare program and societal program of responsibility and need. In a moment of silence now, O Lord, we offer our prayers for those known to us personally and in the body of the people, in church and at home. We offer our prayers now for precious loved ones in Jesus' name. And so together with one voice, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught the church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And our next praise, very familiar to us, but a wonderful praise song. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Now, just taking a vacancy convener's slot just for one wee moment or two to say that I want to thank your elders and your committee folk and your creative worship team and many, many other people who are stewarding on Sunday mornings and at special services. And of course, there are other teams out there doing really, really good work so that the life of the church is continuing, is active, and is doing very, very well. As far as Kirk Session is concerned, we have had a meeting together as elders of the church through online, and the same with Congregational Committee. And we are at the stage at the moment, just pre-Christmas, where we will be looking forward to the updating of the voters list. And that's the sort of stage that we're at, getting to know each other, putting some of the measures in place that will be needed when we continue to advance the vacancy, not least of all when we come into the new year. So I do hope that you're enjoying the guest preachers who are coming. I locked on to your service last week, and I have already discovered that I'm not going to try to stick sticky labels to anything. And I thought that that particular minister fought the good fight really well and made sure that at least one out of four stuck for good. Well, that was wonderful. So listen, thank you for your cooperation and help as a congregation towards your elders and towards your committee people. I know that your treasurer has an ongoing responsibility and that you're upholding those responsibilities to assist your treasurer. And when it comes to next month, I have invited the clerk of the Ards Presbytery to come to deliver your consultation findings. So the Reverend John Flaherty will be coming along for one of the morning worship services, which he will conduct, and he, on that occasion, will bring your consultation report. Let us bow together before our thoughts surrounding the address. Gracious Father God, we thank you for your living word. As always, in the interpreting and in the teaching of your word, we pray for wisdom and the promptings of your Spirit. We pray that we will be faithful to your word rather than fanciful with it. We pray that we will always hold up before the people your agenda, not our own agenda. We pray, Lord God, that your word will impact every area of our lives. Help us to take from this place what is truly of you. We ask for wisdom to test the teaching, and may we hear above and beyond and through any human voice, the voice divine. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, Exodus, as a book of the Bible, which in the Greek translation from the Hebrew means exit or departure. Exodus, exit or departure. It was written to describe the story of Moses' life and leadership of the Hebrew people who, following 400 years residency in Egypt, originally having arrived during a famine period way back in Joseph's time. And the latter period of this time of 400 years was, because of the growing population of the Hebrews, one that became enslavement rather than free and equal citizenship. Enslavement and hardship and backbreaking service. The humiliation of a people once esteemed by the pharaohs of Egypt, saying, in the life and even in the witness of Joseph all those years ago, something that was so special, something that was so living and of God and wise and wonderful. But sadly, as time passed, the Hebrews multiplied, the Egyptians in their leadership and in their royal household became afraid of the Hebrew people. And very often, wrong decisions are made and enforced in times of fear and uncertainty. And fear was at the center of the decision to suppress the Hebrew people, to bring them under such strict and stringent control. And they wonderfully will remember as a people to fulfill Joseph's request, made hundreds of years ago, passed down by oral tradition from one campfire to another, to one generation to another, this request of Joseph to bring his bones home to the land promised by God to Canaan. This is a prophetic request. This is a faith-filled request. And although it took hundreds of years, God's timing was according to his perfect plan. Genesis 50, verse 24, then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear on oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Why did Joseph make this request? Because he had faith in the fulfillment of God's promises. There is a wonderful lesson for us as Christian people. Even though right now we don't often see all that is up ahead, faith in the fulfillment of God's promises. It's going to happen, Israel. You will be liberated and brought home to the promised land. So for the next 390 years, amidst good times and testing times, the Israelite generations were heard to repeat, don't forget Joseph's bones when we go home. Don't forget to bring Joseph's bones with us. Don't forget his faith in the fulfillment, and we will not forget and leave him behind. Joseph stimulated faith, expectation by his request, and God's timing came through according to God's biggest plan. Joseph's bones will be resurrected on the Lord's return in the promised land. Isn't that an amazing thought? Joseph's bones, his body. Now, the contributor scholar to the New International Version Study Bible makes a great point when he reminds us today in 2020 that Exodus was not intended to exist separately, but was thought of as an unbroken continuation of a narrative that began in Genesis and is completed in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The continuum is a construct called the Pentateuch, which has history, character descriptions, detailing of rituals and laws, poems and songs, and ultimately fulfillment as this people enter the promised land under Joshua's leadership. Stage by stage by stage, they had elders, they had characters called by God for leadership, and they were led. You will remember that Moses, their great leader of liberation and of 40 years of desert wanderings, is only permitted to see the land of promise from the top of Mount Nebo, as documented in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 48 to the end of the book. Chapter 34, verse 12. I'll take a little portion. Chapter 32, verse 50. There on the mountain that you have climbed, you will die and be gathered to your people, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. And so we enter Exodus 17:7, where it illuminates. So Moses did this, struck the rock with the rod in the sight of the elders, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The full paragraph we read of a people whose faith would waver at the drop of a hat. Yet they had witnessed the plagues of deliverance from Egypt. They saw Pharaoh's pursuing charioteers swallowed up in the corridor path through the Red Sea, which was opened for them, but then cascaded over the charioteers of Egypt in their very sight. They had been the recipients of manna and quail to feed them. They had already experienced the miraculous purification of the bitter waters at Marah to fresh drinking water, and God's leading to the 12 springs and 70 palm trees at Elim. Yet here in Exodus 7, they are about to stone Moses within the ridiculous accusation, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And God was offended. God was angry. The prophetic symbolism of rod, water, and rock is symbolic of Christ's ministry. Rod or staff. The staff, rod of the shepherd Lord. The rock of truth. The water of life. Redemption. A people delivered, a people saved, and in the future, the deliverer of all deliverers will come and give spiritual water to drink. The Lord of green pastures and still waters, the wellspring of eternal life, as the woman at the well discovered. John chapter 4 and verse 14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you remember at the beginning of the service, sometimes we talked about physical things, then with a spiritual application. The water from the rock, the physical quenching of thirst, the woman at the well, the physical quenching of thirst, but the spiritual lesson, the spiritual thrust. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The Spirit of God within the believer. I who speak to you, woman of Sychar in Samaria, am he, the expected Messiah called Christ. You see, the Old Testament points forward to the fulfillment, the coming, the messianic age in which we now live. And wouldn't it be wonderful, really wonderful, if we, like the Samaritan woman, invited our friends and our neighbors with so much of the enthusiasm that she had, because she had met the risen Lord. She had met the Savior of the world. She had met the Messiah of the world. The Samaritan woman invited all her friends from her town and her neighbors. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were of such a spirit that nothing would do but we would invite people to come under God's word? Sometimes we assume that there is not a spiritual hunger out there, but there really, really is. And spiritual hunger is manifested in all sorts of ways. And you might say, oh no, well, I mean, the world today is so modern, they're running after this and that and doing all sorts of little rituals and personal spiritualities. But does that not reflect that people are searching for more? And that we can be like the woman at the well, who is so keen to introduce all types of people from her time, including the cynical, including probably those who were dabbling with all sorts of this and that, including those who were struggling with all sorts of moralities, and yet she went. And she went with a certain background, and she knew what it was to be touched deep within by this message of the Messiah. Surely this is our primary calling, and she is a wonderful example to us today in the church that we must heed and do likewise. And in these times, it's even easier to encourage a friend to link up online to a service, just sending them the link, passing it forward, or an invitation to Life Lounge, sending it forward to a friend, a family member, to say, you'll be more than welcome. We'd love you to tune in on this. Come and see. Come and hear. Come, because the love of this Lord and the power of this, Lord, awaits you. And that's something for us to really take home and think about. As we see in the water this message from John's Gospel as well, the water of life, the rock of truth, the rod and the staff of the shepherd, guiding and leading humanity in the best ways of fulfilled life and forever. May God bless you and encourage you as you hear God's word and continue to think through these thoughts and be blessed. Lord, please continue to minister within us that we may increasingly be for you this outreaching people. To pray for our prodigals and our wanderers, that they may come to life in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. In your name we pray. Amen. And the praise is like a river glorious. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.